Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Paul Kuharsky, Nick Keyser here with you on this Friday morning. Charles Robinson, normally with us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Joining us today here on the program, we head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Charles, good morning, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing well, gents. How you doing this morning?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Charles, Will Levis to the bench. Mason Rudolph coming in to close out the season here for the Titans. And it looks like the Will Levis era over as starting quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. Your reaction to that, and now what now faces Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, and the Titans, and the decision to get back into the quarterback wilderness moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, it's not surprising at all at this stage. He's a turnover machine this year. Pocket feel really did not seem to improve. We talked about it after the benching. He comes back out and you feel like things are going in the right direction, but it only took a couple of games before he backslid into basically the same performance we saw pre-benching. And I'm with you. I got to believe, like, at this stage, they're going to have to sit down and hash out their options now heading into the offseason. I'll be completely honest with you, it's not like I'm talking to Amy, but I don't think they know what their options are at this stage. And I think some of that has to do with what's going to happen with some of the veteran movement in the offseason. Like, Darnold could be a curveball that could change up the quarterback landscape and what's really available. I think the NFL draft, obviously we've talked about this in the past, not a great class. It's capped in a few different ways, but we haven't gone through the college football playoff, although it's missing a number of guys we would have liked to have seen in the playoff. And then B, we don't know what the combine workouts are going to look like. And somebody always gets heat and prospects that I wouldn't be surprised. I've heard, hey, it's two first round quarterbacks in this draft, and you know, teams are grousing about it. They're probably not even really top 10 guys, but they're going to end up being top 10 guys because of need. I wouldn't be surprised if it ends up being more than a two quarterback draft. But it's not. I mean, it's a pretty weak draft in general. When you talk to teams, the first round grades, teams generally average, I don't know, maybe 14, 12, 14, 16 first round grades a year, depending on how optimistic certain staffs are. Like, I've heard eight first round grades on some boards. Yeah, not great. I mean, it's great if you're sitting there and going, okay, well, the talent shelf is, I've heard, like, from 9 to like the mid 50s, you're going to see like the talent is comparable in that space for some teams. So it'll vary for different teams, but I think there's no doubt after they decide what's going to happen with the leadership of the team, they're going to have to decide what's next for a quarterback. And I would think you're in for a bridge option unless they're going to swing big for like a Darnold.
Here's three veterans that have bad cap situations. It'd be hard for their teams to get out of them, but I'm wondering if you think there's any chance they come free. Matthew Stafford, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins.
So Stafford, Stafford, like the way they redid his deal in the preseason, like they can definitely walk from him, and he can definitely walk from the Rams if he wanted to. I mean, and I think the understanding there is, they'll evaluate at the end of the season. I don't think McVay wants that to happen. I don't think he's really looking forward to what any of the other options would be out there. Stafford's been a little bit up and down, but I think if they put it together late again, like they did last year, it'll give McVay enough juice to say, let's run it back one more year and kind of see where this goes. Cooper Kupp's probably going to be out of the org after this season. I'd be surprised if they didn't move him this coming off season. But if Stafford comes back, maybe that's sort of the package deal. Stafford stays, if Kupp stays, that kind of situation. Who else did you say? You said Carr, right?
Yeah, Carr and Cousins.
Yeah. Carr and Cousins. So Cousins is, that's, unless Penix melts down, just completely melts down, Cousins won't be in Atlanta. Like I fully expect Cousins to say, I'm not waiving my no trade. I'm going to sit here and you guys didn't deem to let me know you were going to draft Penix until you were on the clock. So I'm going to make my business decision and sit here and not waive my no trade. And you're going to make me a free agent in March because they're due. There's like a $10 million guarantee on 2026 salary that's going to be due. I want to say the fifth day of the new league year, it becomes guaranteed. They're not going to guarantee that money. They're done with him. Like it's over there. Unless, like I said, either Penix, there's a catastrophic injury, or Penix is just absolutely horrible. Which talking to people there, they do not expect that. Like they think this is going to be a really big momentum turner for them. So I think Cousins definitely becomes available. Carr, it's a little stickier. I mean, the cap implications there for New Orleans are pretty tough. I think he could become available. If he does, they know it's basically a reboot situation at that stage because they're going to have to inflict some accelerated cap pain. But I would say for sure Cousins, maybe Carr, and I'm kind of out on Stafford, you know, moving on from LA. I think they're feeling pretty good about the situation now as opposed to maybe where they were a little bit earlier in the season.
So, Charles, on the Darnold front, obviously, you know, Minnesota drafted J.J. McCarthy. He gets hurt, and this has been a wash for him this year in terms of on the field. Darnold's played great. So, like, I'm looking at it, like, I think Minnesota would kind of be crazy to let Sam Darnold walk. How do they view it? How do you think that they handle the Darnold situation at the end of this year?
So, interesting. Yeah, I'm gonna be writing about this next week. This is interesting to me because my full presumption was until I started to talk to some people there, you got to move on. You know, like they just, the plan was for McCarthy. I talked to them extensively about it in the summer. You know, they were even saying then, hey, we think Darnold could have a big year if we start him. This is before McCarthy had gotten hurt. And I was kind of like, okay, sure guys. Like, all right. And then, you know, it happens and everything they told me about where he was in the system, what he had learned in San Francisco, how much he had really turned himself around, getting beyond like first read, second read. It all really came true. And so here's the thing. I was acting on that information. You reach out and you go, okay, so if you can't really keep this guy, I think the attitude there now is like, why not? Like maybe we can keep both. And I was honestly a little shocked. Like, I'm like, okay, it really, like there's a consideration of potentially keeping both. And I think it all depends on what happens the remainder of the season. It depends how Darnold, you know, finishes out. But look, if they make a good run into the playoffs and Darnold continues to, I mean, he's, you know, I'd say he's drawn back a little bit compared to maybe where he was in the first half of the season. But I think they also feel like there's still more ceiling there working with him that like Kevin O'Connell, I think in his mind, he feels like it takes 2 years for a guy to really be fully immersed in what O'Connell likes to do. And then once that guy's got the 2 years, it's gangbusters. And so I think he still feels like there's meat on the bone. They may attempt to keep him, but it's going to depend on what other team's going to be offering. You know, what's that market going to look like for him? I don't think they know yet right now. I think there's this assumption by some of us on the media side that, hey, there's going to be a ton of strong interest. He's going to get bigger offers than anybody realizes. We'll see. Like, I think what people are nervous about is Kevin O'Connell doesn't come with Sam Darnold, right? And so it's like there are certain spots where he would fit if he goes back to San Francisco. Like, that would be a huge curveball. But if he, you know, that's clearly a fit there. It's sort of, you know, maybe like McVay in L.A. Like, I've talked to people at the Rams. They don't seem super enthused about that idea, but they do agree that there's definitely synergy there in terms of, you know, him running a scheme, a Shanahan scheme. McVay's got his version of the Shanahan scheme as well. So he's definitely a curveball, but I think it's going to just depend on what the market interest is. And I'll tell you this. There are agents that when their player, you know, really fails through a number of franchises and then finds a spot that really works, their agents are like, maybe we need to figure out a way to stay. Like, you know, you could get two more quarterback contracts in Minnesota if you stay, if you're Sam Darnold, right? And you do well. So you're looking at potentially an 8-year run of really good money and potentially high level play. You could look at one contract. You could be Kirk Cousins, right? You could be, you make that change and it doesn't work at the next spot, he goes right back to zero. And so there's a lot of dynamics, I think, that are going to come into play here. And I think Darnold is sort of that shoe that everyone is waiting to see how it drops. And then they move on to a number of other guys, which are probably all bridge options. You know, Daniel Jones, like Rodgers, see what happens with Rodgers. I think he's campaigning to stay in New York, which is wild to me. You know, Fields, that's another situation. I got to believe they're moving forward with Russ after the season. But again, I also think some of this is going to depend on contract negotiations too.
Former Jets, Charles Robinson from Yahoo, our guest. Former Jets are certainly helping shape a picture of just how awkward and bad ownership is there. Whether Woody Johnson or his brother is running things going forward, are they going to have to try to change some things in order to draw a GM and a coach of the quality they need to change things there? Or is whoever goes there going to have to just deal with the chaos?
Well, is he going to resume an ambassadorship is a question. Like, I think people in the building would love to get Woody. This is Prey and Trump. They're like, come on, man. Like,
head for Dublin.
Do it. Yeah, pull the trigger. Let's send him back to the UK and get him out of the building. But I think they also know there's going to be plenty of time for him to make the decisions he needs to make before he does that, i.e. next head coach, next general manager. There's, I would say, significant pause for top level GM candidates who could potentially end up, getting interviews with New York. I think some of these guys that really would like either a second shot, John Robinson, like, or want to break in, Jim Nagy, those are situations where you would see guys go, okay, I gotta work the situation. This is what's available to me. Clearly it's going to be troubling dealing with this owner, but I can get some guidance from Joe Douglas. How do I navigate this? What do I do? And what should I be prepared for? But yeah, I think they're going to have problems. I just don't see, a candidate who has a multitude of jobs potentially available to them or has some patience is going to say, yeah, let me go ahead and risk it with the Jets at this stage. Money could play into it, though. I will say that too. I don't think Woody's inclined. Christopher would pay. I think Christopher would not have a problem doling out a healthy chunk of change for the right GM candidate. Woody, not so much. I mean, Woody's kind of he's a little bit of a penny pincher, despite what some of the most recent moves have shown.
Big fan of Madden, though, from what we hear. Big fan of the Madden games.
Man, I don't even – that's just wild to me. Like, And the crazy thing is, like, I know people there. I mean, I know people there who are in high-ranking positions now. I know some of the people who left, right, who got fragged, and I never heard that story. And all of that, I know people in Denver. Like, I can't – when it all happened, I'm like, how did I never hear this? This is so crazy. I would have thought I would have heard it. But, yeah, it's I'm just telling you, like, it's – there were people there in that organization pre-election. Like, I remember having conversations in October about, like, the future and where do things go. And the very common response you'd get is, does Trump win the election? Like, it felt like the franchise was sort of like, how are we going to be dialed in based on, is our owner going to be here or are we going to be free of him for, you know, at least 4 years? And I think people there have their fingers crossed. Like, that's how messed up the situation is there. I think they have their fingers crossed that he gets out of their hair.
Charles, last thing for you. You bring up Rodgers. So, obviously, there's a lot going on in that tire fire of an organization right now. What do you think happens with him? If it's not in New York, does he still play? What's the interest level if he comes available?
Well, I will tell you this. He will, if he moves on, like if he gets cut, he's not going to have the leverage. It won't be. I know that there's always this consternation about how he acts when he gets into an organization. I want my guys. I want this. I want that. And that's natural. That's happened in the past. There's a pattern there. He's not going to have that leverage this time around. There's not a lot of choices, I think, out there for him. And I don't think there's an overwhelming appetite for him to come in. And I think if anybody brings him in, it's purely as a bridge option. They all know that. So, that's tamped down a little bit. At this stage, I don't think they're inclined to keep him. He is playing better, and people in the organization will tell you he's healthier than he was earlier in the season, although they won't expound on exactly what was wrong with him earlier, because I don't think he will tell them. Like, that's the weird thing that's sort of developed over this season. I think they think he is masking some things that are wrong with him and not sharing that information with the organization, because he doesn't want that to dictate whether he plays or not, right? But Devontae Adams has been telling people left and right that, hey, he's a lot healthier now than he was then, and there's a reason why he's looking a little bit better. If you look at the film last couple of games, he is definitely moving better. Yeah. Like, they thought he was dead from the waist down. Like, I remember when Joe Douglas got fired, and I was talking to somebody in the organization, they were like, he just got nothing left. They're like, waist down, there's nothing left there. And it looked like that. But the last couple of games, he's got a little more pep. And, you know, if it is injuries and he's kind of getting over that hump and he puts some good tape down, I think maybe that changes whether or not they're willing to try and go back one more. The thing with the Jets is, does the next GM, the next head coach, do they want him? Do they want him? Do they want Devontae Adams? Like, do they want to deal with that, or do they just want to go, let's clear the decks and figure out something moving forward? Will he have options elsewhere? Yeah, because there's going to be quarterback need. There just is. It's not a great draft. The other bridge options aren't awesome. I would not be stunned if he would like to go to Tennessee. I would not be stunned if he would like to play for the Titans. I don't know. I mean, it is a very difficult quarterback market to call right now, because I think we're still sorting some things out. Some guys are still going to affect their situations with how they play down the stretch. And then we're all sort of waiting to find out exactly what's going to happen with the Vikings and Darnold.
Yep, no doubt about it. Charles, great stuff, man. Merry Christmas to you and the family, and we will talk to you after the holiday.
Hey, I meant to ask you, so does PK, does he have a Rex Road impersonation?
He says he's been working on it.
I've been workshopping it, but I'm not ready. Maybe I'll do it before the end of the show, and if I do, we'll send you the audio.
Just have it ready when I roll through. If I either see it at the maybe the owners' meetings or the combine or next summer when I come through, we can roll it out then. Guys.
Thanks.
Thank you, Charles.
It's a good request. Yeah.
It is. Charles Robinson, our guest, joins us every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Scheduling stuff going on this week, so we'll have Charles after the Christmas holiday. We'll have TD coming next. We'll get into more Titans talk with him. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.